Well, last Sunday we began a new series called Body Life, Living Out Our Calling as Christ's Bride. I just wanted to spend some time in these weeks helping to equip us as we think about what it means to live together as a church family. This is something unique, something that is not a creation of man. Man didn't invent the church. Man didn't come up with the idea of the church. We are the body of Christ. We are living in the middle of what is God's will for this age that we live in. That He decided, I'm not going to have people just be solo Christians. I'm not going to just have people kind of go it on their own. I'm going to bring them together in communities and church families, and they're going to lock arms together, and they're going to hit their knees on the floor together in prayer, and they're going to worship me together, and they're going to be so much better off together than they could ever be by themselves. The church means that we need each other. We need each other desperately. And so I want to take this time, as we started last week, to begin just to think again about some of the attributes, some of the characteristics of a healthy, vibrant family of believers. And we started last week by talking about the reality that every single person in the church is called to serve. We are all called to ministry. I know that I'm up front and I'm the pastor, and sometimes I get asked the question, you know, Mike, tell us about your being called into ministry. And, you know, you probably have a story to tell about how God did that in your life. But I want to turn that question around and ask it to each and every one of you. Tell me about your call to ministry and to service for God, because He has given all of us gifts and talents, and He's called all of us to participate and to serve Him in some ministry in the body of Christ. And so last week we began to talk about that reality. But today I want to take a step inward into this idea of serving God. And I want to talk about the mindset, or the mentality, or maybe you would say the attitude that God wants from us as we serve Him. And so we're going to look at just a few angles of what it means to think like a servant of God. To think like a servant of God. So if you get your outlines and follow along with me, we have a few of these just to look at this morning. Rick Warren, pastor who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, put it this way: to be a servant requires a mental shift, a change in your attitudes. God is always more interested in why we do something than in what we actually do. Attitude counts more than achievements in God's economy. And so we want to talk about, and I want you, as I go through these simple points, just some perspectives this morning, to think about your thought life as a servant, how you think about church and how you think about your service, whatever that is. And we have a lot of different people that serve in a lot of different ways. How you think about, and if they align with, some of these biblical principles. So the first one on our list this morning, as we talk about thinking like a servant thinks more about others than about themselves. Not rocket science, is it? A true servant of God comes to the table, comes to the church family with the mentality of, I'm going to think about others more and before myself. No, I'm telling you the truth. Don't argue with me. Yes. Here's the deal. Sin in its very essence and nature is selfishness. I always get frustrated when people come up with these big, elaborate, confusing definitions of sin. Sin in its bottom core essence is just selfishness. It's just that I want what I want. And we all wrestle at a very deep level with selfishness. And so when we all come together as a church family, part of our struggle is going to be selfishness. But God, He comes, and we sing about it this morning. We sing about it every week. I preach about it most Sundays. God has come to save us from sin. Not just to deliver us from the penalty of sin, but to begin to unravel the stranglehold that sinful selfishness has on our lives. And so as we begin to grow as Christians, He begins to reverse that trend. And He begins to call us to die to ourselves, and that we have to have our way in all the ways that we pervert His truth and His goodness. And He begins to turn us outward towards others, and to have a heart and a concern and a compassion and a care for others. And we begin to spend our energy and our time actually thinking about other people and what God might be up to in their life, and how God might want to use me to encourage and to help, you know, grow that person towards their relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Philippians 2 is our key passage on that concept of thinking more about others than themselves. Do nothing, God says to His church, out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, key word, in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then the very next verse says in verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. God's saying, I'm not calling you to anything different than what my Son is like. He is the ultimate example of one who did not put himself first, but put others first. That Philippians 2 passage goes on to give us this grand description, maybe the most grand description in all of Scripture, about Christ being up in heaven in all eternity past, clothed in glory and power, and then taking that glory and setting it aside and saying, I don't have to grasp a hold of this and keep it at all costs. In fact, I see a whole world that desperately needs my love and my forgiveness. And so I'm going to set this aside, Jesus said, and I'm going to take the attitude of a servant, and I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to leave heaven, and I'm going to go to earth, and I'm going to come as a humble child, and I'm going to grow, and I'm going to live a perfect life, and I'm going to serve. I'm not going to come as a ruling master. I'm going to come as one who is there to serve, and I'm going to serve them to the uttermost, even to the point at the end of it all where I'm going to give my life on the cross to rescue them from sin. Can you see that the whole mindset of God and the mindset of Jesus Christ, the mindset of the Trinity, is one of focusing on us, on another, and coming and serving us to the uttermost? And then here it says, our attitude, our mentality as those who have been rescued by the Savior is to have that same attitude towards one another. That is the heart of a servant. There's a great account of something that happened shortly after the birth of the church and the close of the New Testament. In Rome, a series of deadly plagues ravished that region of the world. And people in Rome and in that territory, many, many people died. Thousands and thousands died. And panic, of course, struck. And people began to flee and scatter and try to get to safety where they wouldn't be, out of the contagious zone, so to speak. And to the point where many families in that culture even left loved ones and family members who were sick and just left them so that they could flee for their lives. But right in the middle of that context, the early Christian church got this, they had this humility, this idea of thinking of others before self. And the early Christian church, by and large, did not flee. And they stayed. And they looked at these people who were dying, and some of them were dying. And they stayed and they served the sick and the dying. To the point where, because they stayed, many people lived that would have otherwise died because they wouldn't have received any care. But on the other hand, many of the Christians ended up getting sick and dying because they stayed. It was a great sacrifice in the life of the early church. But do you know what happened? Out of that event, out of that tragedy, that servant heart of the church that was poured forth in that moment is what catapulted the church onto the scene. It's what took the larger society and got their attention and said, wait a minute. What is going on with these Christians? Why do they serve like they serve? And the church began to grow, not decrease, but increase, because that love and that other-centeredness and that servant's heart, it was like a magnet that drew people because it was displaying the heart of Christ. And so that is the calling of the church. That is the calling on our lives, to think of others before self. Paul reminded the church in Philippi of his young protege, a young pastor named Timothy, who was a shining example of, who exemplified this servant's heart mentality. Listen to how he describes him in Philippians 2. He says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon." They knew Timothy. He had been with them before, and they knew his heart. He said, "that I may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone else, by nature, kind of looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ," but not Timothy. He's telling that church, you know this guy's heart. He comes to you. He cares about your interests, your spiritual interests, your deepest needs, and he comes to minister to them. And he is a model for all of us. How easy is it for you to set aside your own problems, your own busyness, your own struggles, and to look prayerfully and thoughtfully at other people and with the question, God, what are you doing in their lives? And how can I be an instrument that you would use to bless them, to encourage them, to feed them, to nurture them? I heard two sets of prayer requests when we did our prayer time of people providing meals for those who are going through a difficult season. That is a beautiful example and a great picture of one way that we do that as a congregation. So praise you ladies who, I'm presuming it's the ladies who primarily provided those meals. Amen. And praise the Lord to that. That is an example of what we were talking about. It says there in that key passage in Philippians, in humility, consider others' interests before your own or ahead of your own. You know what humility is? Humility is not, it's not thinking less of ourselves, but it's thinking of ourselves less. Does that make sense? Humility doesn't mean I grovel in the dirt and I just tell everybody I'm just a worm and I'm no good and all of that. That's thinking less of yourselves. God isn't, He doesn't, you know, beat His children down. He lifts us up. We are saints. We are children of the living God. Amen to that. And now we are free to think and not be consumed with ourselves, but to think less of ourselves and more toward what other people are going through. God has set us free to serve and to think of others. So that's the first mentality of a servant. Number two, a servant thinks more like, servants think more like stewards, not owners. Servants think more like stewards, not owners. Now, what are we talking about? We don't use that language much anymore, stewardship, or somebody's a steward. But God's Word tells us that we are not our own. We don't belong to ourselves. We don't own ourselves. But we were bought with a price. And that price is what? The blood of Christ. He purchased us for Himself. We do not belong to ourselves. We don't own ourselves. And a steward, in biblical times, as it was more commonly used term back then or understood, was simply somebody, a servant who was put in charge of their master's estate. So they managed the affairs for the master. They maybe watched over their financial affairs and estate. They maybe watched over their physical property. They maybe took care of you know, the cooking and the cleaning and the whatever else the master needed, but none of that belonged to them. They were watching it over for the master. And friends, that is the mentality, that is the reality that we live in this world. We have nothing. The scriptures ask the question, Jesus asked the question, what do you have that was not given to you? Nothing. We brought nothing in and we'll take nothing out other than what we do with Christ. And our mentality then, as we begin to understand that God owns it all, that's what stewardship really means. It's a mentality that says, wait a minute, I used to think that I owned it all and I was working for more and seeing how much I could get. Now I understand it all belongs to God. And when I say all, we're talking about our finances. We're talking about our families, and that's a real hard one for me, I have to admit. I like to think my family is mine, my children are mine. No, they're ultimately God's. They're His children. My possessions, even my talents, even the things that I have that I bring, that I'm, you know, maybe I'm good at this and you're good at that, even those talents and those gifts, as we learned last week, are gifts from God. They're on loan from God to be used for His glory. And when we can make that shift from owner to steward, we're going to begin to make real progress as servants of God. Because that sets us free, doesn't it? If I know it all belongs to God, it's in His hands, and I'm just serving Him with the resources He's given me, then I don't have to cling to things and try to climb over people's back to get up the ladder. I'm free to serve. God, this belongs to You. Some time ago, I was in a very low situation, and my family and I found ourselves in deep financial desperation. And we did not know how we were going to pay our bills. And we did not know what next month was going to hold. And we were as low as we've ever been. And I have a couple of friends in the Lord that have this mentality. And they live this way. And out of the blue, in the midst of our desperation, two of my very best friends that are strong believers and practice this stewardship came to our aid. And they gave to us, I can't even tell you how much because it's embarrassing, but they gave so sacrificially. And I was reflecting on that to us to help us through that time. And I was just thinking about that this week. What enabled them? What gave them the freedom? Because they're not wealthy people. They didn't give because they were just wealthy. They have a steward's mentality. And they looked at their own finances and they said, you know, this is on loan from God. We have this because God has provided and we are to use it for His glory. And I can tell you, at that moment, at that time, our family was so deeply blessed by their servant heart and their attitude of stewardship over what God had given them. Because when you have the mindset of a steward, bottom line is this, you are free. It sets you free. You don't hold things so tightly, like you own it, like it's yours. You're able to say, God, how do you want me to use your resources for your glory? That's the mindset of a biblical servant. And even as I preach that, I have to just tell you, as I often do when I preach, maybe every Sunday, is I'm not fully here yet. You know that? I wrestle with this. I wrestle. Even as I was preparing this week, I found myself, boy, can I really preach this? Because I don't feel like I've got this one all down yet. I'm still on the journey. God's still teaching me. God's still prying my fingers back off of some of things in my life. You know, we're getting ready to go from a family of five under the roof to a family of three under the roof. I have one graduating from college that's lived at home and commuted the last 3 years, and one that's graduating from high school. And so I'm wrestling with this. There's a part of me that just doesn't want to let go. But I have to understand, again, they are God's. They are in His hands. So I guess I'm just trying to let you know I wrestle with this. It's not easy. But God is in control. So that's the second one. Number three, this kind of gets into a little bit of our that selfishness again. Servants think more about their work than what others are doing. In other words, a servant of God is able to look at and keep their focus on what does God have for me? What is God calling me to do? How has God gifted and equipped me to serve Him? Not always looking at other people and I wonder what they're doing and they're not doing enough, or I wish they were helping me do what I'm doing, or, you know, that comparison game that we sometimes get into. Looking at other people rather than looking at ourselves. Servants concern themselves with their own calling. Look at what Galatians 5:26. This is from the translation from the Message. Listen to how it words it. We will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us was better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives than sit around comparing. Each of us is an original, meaning God has called each of us uniquely to serve Him. Think about this. You know, when you sit around comparing your participation in the church with other people and what are they doing, only bad things can happen. It's all bad when you start comparing. You either become very discontent in your heart because you're looking at other people and maybe you get to feeling like, I don't measure up. You know, look what everybody else is doing and I'm only doing this little bitty thing, or they do what they do so much better than what I do. And it just leads to discontent. Or it can lead to a critical spirit, more of a mentality of, you know, why aren't they serving like I'm serving? And I become very judgmental and critical towards other people when I compare. Or finally, it can lead to pride. You know, if like my gifts and my contribution to the body of Christ is really important. And what they're doing is, you know, I mean, it's marginal. It's not really that important. It can lead to pride. So we gotta stop the comparing and looking at others. Another thing Rick Warren says, competition and comparison between God's servants is illogical. We are all on the same team, and our goal is to make God look good, not ourselves. We have all been given different gifts and assignments, and we need to focus on what God has called us to do, not whatever God's called other people to do. I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you to find the joyful rhythm in your life of walking with God in what He has called you to do, where He has called you to serve, and find joy in that. Find contentment in that. Go deep with that. Say, God, use me in this area that I'm serving you. I want to be your instrument. Find that rhythm of walking with Him. Number four, servants base their identity in Christ. Identity in Christ. Servants know who they are. An effective servant for God, they know who they are. They know they are children of God, and that their identity comes not from, you know, getting strokes from other people or anything else. Their identity comes from, I am a child of God through faith in Christ. And in Christ, I have been forgiven. I have been redeemed. I have been set apart. I have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, that God lives in me. And I am His child and I am in His family. And I know that. It's when we understand who we are in Christ that we are free to serve Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favorite passages, is, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. A new creation. The old is gone. That old person, God doesn't look at that. The new has come. New life. Friend, if you are in Christ, God's given you a new heart, a new desire, a new will to serve Him and to live for Him and to make choices that glorify Him. He's given you a new heart. He's given you a new family. You are part of the family of God that we're talking about, that's gathered here. You're part of a community. When we try to serve out of insecurity and forgetting who we are, again, it just leads to bad things, you know. It causes us to worry about, oh, am I measuring up to what so-and-so thinks? And am I doing enough? And I need to try to prove to other people that I'm worthy, rather than knowing that I'm already okay in God's eyes and I'm just free to serve. Man, don't serve out of insecurity. Understand and anchor yourself in the reality of who you are in Christ, and then be free to go and serve. And then finally, number five, servants think of ministry as an opportunity, not as an obligation. It's the difference between something I have to do, that's an obligation, versus something I have the privilege to do. I get to do. Maybe that's a gut check for you to think about this morning. Do you do the things right now that you're doing to serve the body of Christ because you have to, or because you feel like you have to, or out of guilt, or out of shame, or out of, you know, I've always done it, or do you do it because of the privilege of doing it to serve God? Do you see it as an opportunity to be able to touch other people's lives, to minister to other people? I was thinking back through my growing up years. I had a couple of different Sunday school teachers. I had one Sunday school teacher. Okay, I'm gonna show my age and probably just, you know, a few other things about myself. But anybody remember Ferris Bueller? Okay, you remember his teacher? the teacher that was real monotone, and he would ask the questions, and then he'd say, is anyone, Bueller? And then he'd just give the answer. I mean, that's the guy, he's Mr. Obligation. He's not there because he loves his students. He's not there because he cares. He's not there because he's trying to make a difference. He's just there because that's what he's supposed to do. And I had a few teachers like that and a few mentors like that in my life. But I was also thinking about a guy named Ted. In fact, I just, when I was back home from my wife's grandmother's funeral last week, I got to meet up with my friend Ted. Ted was my Sunday school teacher when I was in high school. And Ted cared deeply about us kids in his class. And he prepared, and he came, and we didn't just do the lesson and check it off. He talked about what was going on in our lives. He wanted to know how we were doing, and was the, you know, what we were studying, how was it making a difference in our lives. And he spent time with us outside of Sunday school class, and he poured his life into us. He wasn't there out of obligation. He was there because he had the privilege of serving God in that way, and it made a huge impact in my life and many others. That's the mentality that God is calling us to. So friends, as we wind down this morning, I just want to ask you to examine your heart as a servant of God. Everybody's called to a ministry. But friend, are we serving with the right mindset? Are we serving with the right attitude? Are we serving humbly before God? And are we saying, basically, God, I'm yours. I am yours. Use me to be a blessing to others in the family of God. Many of you are already serving, so I want to just say that. A big thank you to those of you, many of you, most of you in some way or another are faithfully serving God. Some of you doing it in formal ways, you know, you're a Sunday school teacher or something like that. And others of you are serving just kind of behind the scenes and not in any official way. You just kind of keep your eyes open for people that are hurting and you reach out to them. Praise the Lord for what you're doing and ministering to the Lord. And maybe today is an encouragement for some. For others, maybe it's just a bit of a nudge and a wake-up call and a okay, God, I've been sitting on the sidelines and you're calling me into the game and I'm ready and I want to do it with a servant's heart. And then when we get that mentality together, that is what creates, one of the things that creates a healthy church family. And that's what we want, right? That's what we want. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the call that you have on every one of our lives to be servants and ministers of the gospel to one another. And just like that example I gave of the early church and how their service for the Lord became a magnet for those outside the church to say, hey, what is going on there? God, I pray that for our church. I pray that we could be a family of believers that we serve each other in such a way that is both a blessing, as even we had in our prayer request today. Some people were blessed by the service of those in the church. Lord, may that just increase and grow. And may those outside the church who are looking and saying, what are you people all about? Lord, may they see that mentality in us and may they be drawn and to ask, why are you that way? And we can tell them, because our Savior is that way. We have the same mentality and the same attitude as that of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And may they be brought to faith in Christ through our service. Lord, we love you. And we commit our hearts anew to today to serve you in all that we do. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.